Welcome to our podcast. This is David King. I want to take just a second and thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to take a second, look straight in the camera, and welcome those of you who are tuning in online, for the ladies at the Claiborne County Detention Center, and for that wild bunch over in Tazewell, Tennessee. Let's come together as one church and give God praise. Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Justin Brock, and I've had the pleasure and the honor of serving here at Shiloh Church for going on 10 years now. And I've served in different capacities in the church, and primarily my time here has been spent with the worship team. But more recently, I've joined the speakers group, and so I'm excited for this opportunity this morning to get to share with you this message and to get to share with you God's Word. And this week, I just kind of want to define and highlight one of our core values here at Shiloh, and it's that we don't just exist as a place for you to solely come to church. But we believe that we are the church and that we exist for the world. And I think that's incredibly important, and especially with the way that the world is today and everything that's going on. I think it's important that the world has something like that. And the question is what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? As Christians, I think, you know, a lot of people turn to the political arena for the solution. And while that is a solution, it's not the only solution. God has called the church to rise up for such a time as this so that we can be that solution and so that we can bring light into all the darkness that's around us right now. And any time that you think about everything, the situation, the state of the world, it begs the question, and are we living in those end times? Are these the last days? And the truth of the matter is that no one really knows for sure. And the Bible says that, you know, not even the angels in heaven nor Jesus himself knows when the Son of Man will return, that only God the Father knows. But I think he's ready. I think Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's looking up and he's saying, "Dad, I got the cloud right there. I'm ready to go get my bride." I think he's ready. You know, the Bible never tells us when Jesus will return, but what it does tell us is what the world will be like right before he does. You know, there's a whole chapter in the Bible about it. And one of those verses in that chapter, by the way, is that the gospel will be preached to every nation. And that word nation there is not nation as in the United States or France or any country. That word there in the original language in Greek, it's ethnos. And what that means is it means peoples or people groups. So that verse there, it reads that this gospel will be preached to every people group, and then the end shall come. And, you know, there's 195 nations in the world, but there are thousands and there are thousands and thousands of people groups. And those people groups right now are getting reached at an increased rate, and mainly due to advances in technology. We as Christians are working really hard towards that mission, but there's still a great need for that mission. You know, Jesus, like I said, there's a whole chapter about that. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, you know, what it's going to be like. You know, this isn't the first time that the world has been in the state, in a bad state. You know, let me show you here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. It says, "When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah." Well, what was it like in the days of Noah? You know, Christian or non-Christian, a lot of people know the story of Noah's Ark. It's one of those older Bible stories that get shared with us when we're kids. And growing up in this area, and a lot of people in this area know the story of Noah's Ark. You know, it's, you know, Noah was there, and the Lord was watching, and the world was wicked, and it was evil. And so God had this plan to basically just start over. But he didn't, because he found Noah. And he told Noah, he said, "I'm going to save you, and I'm going to save your family. And you're to build a boat because it's going to rain and it's going to flood. And the floodwaters are going to cover the face of the earth. You take your family in the boat, take animals two by two." And that's what happened. And a lot of people today don't believe that stories like this are true. A lot of Christians don't believe that these Old Testament Bible stories are true, that they're just that they're just stories or fairy tales. But there's a lot of scientific evidence. There's a lot of historical facts and documents that back these stories. You know, it reminds me of this little girl who wrote a term paper for school. And it was over Jonah and how Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And the teacher, who wasn't a believer, was grading the paper. And as she was grading it, she was angry. And she goes to the little girl and she says, "You know, this is absolutely ridiculous. This is insane. Not only is it physically impossible for a man to fit through the throat of a whale, but he certainly couldn't survive there for 3 days." And the little girl, who wasn't deterred in the slightest, says, "Well, that's okay. You know, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah myself." And the teacher responds with, "Well, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven?" And the little girl quickly says, "Well, then you can ask him." You know, the moral of this story is that people are going to believe what they want to believe. It's not our job to try to get them to believe in everything. But I believe that the Bible is true. You know, these Old Testament stories that kind of seem a little supernatural, maybe they are supernatural. God is supernatural. Now, I believe in the power of God, and I believe that He loves each and every single one of us, and He has a calling for each and every single one of us, and a plan for our lives, just like He planned for Noah, to go out into the world and to make a difference, to save the world. Let's look at Genesis. And as I go into Genesis, there's two things that I want you to notice in this story as we look into Noah's story just a little bit deeper. It's that the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness. God sees what's going on in the world. He's not turned a blind eye to it. He sees, and it breaks His heart. You know, sometimes we like to put God in this box. You know, we see Him as this all-powerful, almighty being who reigns from heaven. And while He is that, He's so much more than that. You know, we tend to think that God is this being that is void of emotion, but He experiences emotion. The Bible says that God is love. You know, God experiences joy and the feeling of being proud, and He experiences sorrow. That's why I love these translations, these verses that really put you into perspective what God and what God's character is. You know, the second thing that I want you to notice in this story is that Noah found favor with the Lord. And God, instead of destroying everything, instead of just starting completely over, God's answer was to find someone who was willing to step up. In Noah's time, it was Noah, and today it's us. God's answer to a hurting world is us. You know, I'm sure that some of you guys may see that as a big task or a big challenge, and I just want to encourage you today to step out of that comfort zone just a little bit and to pursue that further. Now, this is what Shiloh Church is all about. We believe here at Shiloh that we're called by God to lead you all through four experiences. Those four experiences are to know God. You know, you can't do anything unless you know God, unless you've got that relationship with Him. You know, and if you're not a Christian, that's the first thing, and the only thing that you should think about is, how do I get to God? And here at Shiloh, that's what our Sunday morning services are. Our goal is to create an experience for you guys to experience freedom and to have an encounter with God in a personal way. The next step is to find freedom. We want you guys to be able to settle your yesterdays once and for all, to be able to put your past behind you and move forward so that you can discover your purpose. And that's what our small groups are for you guys to get into circles. We believe that life change happens in the context of small groups, to build relationships, to find people that you can confide in, to find people that can help you through these times so that you can find freedom and discover your purpose. And that's the next step, is discover your purpose. You can't do your purpose if you don't know what it is. And that's what our growth track is. Our growth track is designed for you guys to learn a little bit about what Shiloh Church is, what we believe and why we do what we do. But it's also an awesome and an excellent opportunity for you guys to be able to learn more about yourselves and to discover your purpose so that you can use those gifts that God's given you to make a difference, to go out in the world, to serve on the dream team, and to make a difference. You know, we got a lot of different areas at this church, and our dream team is awesome. You know, it's not just the worship team on stage or the speakers on stage. It's the people behind the scenes that are serving in kids ministry. It's the people that are working the sound booth and running the projectors. It's the people that smile at you and help you park your cars. The people who usher you and help you find seats. The dream team, there's a place on this team for each and every single one of you guys. And that's my heart for you today. My heart is that you guys can go beyond just knowing God and experience freedom from your yesterdays, to discover your purpose and to use that purpose to go out into the world and to make a difference. And not only is that my heart, but that's God's heart for you guys as well. How many of you guys have ever heard that the great philosophical question, that question that's, what is the meaning of life? God gives us the answer to that question in Acts chapter 13. He says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and his body decayed. You know, the answer, our meaning in life is found in fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. To go out and to make a difference in the world and the people around us. And I love this translation because it doesn't just say that David served God's purpose and then he died. It said he fell asleep and his body decayed. You see, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And our bodies will die, but we won't. We'll get to be with the Lord. As Christians, we get to be with the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you guys, and I want to give you three areas real quick that I think that we are called to make a difference in. So the first one is for those that are closest to me. You know, we're called, our first mission is not to the world. Our first mission is not to our country or even to our towns. Our first mission is for those that are right here around us. Let me show you here in Genesis, in the story of Noah. God says, go into the boat with you and all your family. God's saying, not only am I saving you, I'm saving your family. And you're going to see that when I do something in your life, it's going to have an impact on those closest to you. For Noah, it was his family. For you guys, it may be your coworkers, your teammates, your classmates, your relatives, your friends. It's for the people in your lives that you have daily interactions with. That's our first calling. And our second calling, it's for my generation. And by generation, I'm talking about the time and the place where we live. And if I can be honest with you guys, we need people in this generation to stand up. We need good values and good morals in the political realm. We need teachers out in the schools making differences in the lives of kids. We need people serving in kids' ministry so that they can be that example for that generation. We need people. God's looking for people who's going to stand up and say, I'm going to do my part in doing something about this, and I'm going to serve God's purpose for my life and my generation, and then I'm going to go to heaven. It's an opportunity for us. You know, the Bible says that we're not to let our culture influence us, but we're to influence them. It's found in Jeremiah. It says, you must influence them. Do not let them influence you. This is an opportunity for us to make an impact and a difference in our generations. And here's the last calling. It's for God. God, we can make a difference for God. And I'm gonna make this very plain for you guys. I'm gonna put these cookies on the bottom shelf so that everybody can get it. You guys ready? Tazwell, you ready? God needs you. God wants you. And He's counting on you. God's looking for some difference makers. He's looking for people, like I said, that can stand up and say, I'll do my part about it. You know, the only place in the Bible where Jesus addresses the issue to a hurting church or to a hurting world, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There's a great reluctance. You know, if we can just find a way to get more people involved, then we can change the world. Jesus tells us that. You know, if there's this fulfillment, if there's such this joy in serving, then why aren't there more workers? What's holding us back? I think for a lot of us, it's fear. We're afraid. We're afraid of our past. Let's look at 2 Chronicles real quick. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God's looking for people, but we're afraid. Well, what are we afraid of? I think for some of us, we're afraid of our past. And usually the conversations go like this. You know, I'd love to be a part of that team, but you don't know my past. You don't know my resume. You don't know how many marriages I've had or what I did yesterday. You don't know the things I've done. I've gone too far. And I just want to tell you today that when Jesus was putting together a team that would change the world, he didn't go to the religious. He didn't go to the perfect, the people who had their lives together. He went to the everyday average person. He says, I can use you. I can do something with you. I can take you and I can free you from your past and we can move forward together and together we can make a difference. You see, in order to conquer our fear of our past, you've got to let go of your past so that it lets go of you. As long as you're holding on to that, it'll never let go. And I just want to tell you today, I feel like this is a word for somebody. Your past does not disqualify you. In fact, it probably qualifies you more. Because who else would hurting people want to hear from than other hurting people who've been through the same things? They're just on the other side of it now. We're afraid of our past. For some of us, we're afraid of the crowd. We're afraid of what people think. You know, we won't pray in public settings. I can remember a time, you know, when I was at just, you know, late high school, heading into college, and that was a long time ago. But I can remember a time where I could go out to just about any given restaurant, and if I spent long enough and I looked hard enough, I could find somebody who was praying over their meals. And today we just don't see that. And we're afraid of what people think. I'm thankful, first off, that Noah didn't, you know. I'm thankful that Noah wasn't afraid of what people think. And I know that when he was building that ark, you know, in the middle of a desert, there was people probably coming from all around looking and saying, what is this guy doing? Have you seen this dude? Have you heard about this dude that's building this boat in the middle of a desert? And I'm sure people walked up to him and was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm building a boat. Well, why? It's going to rain. Well, what's rain? It's water that falls from the sky. That sounds insane. I've never seen that before. You will. And Noah had faith. Noah didn't wait. He just kept hammering. He didn't care what people think. It doesn't have to be some kind of grand gesture. It doesn't. You don't have to wear some silly costume and stand out on the street corner waving some sign around. It can be simple gestures. It could be something as simple as just praying over your meal at a restaurant. The world's watching. The world pays attention. You know, it could be something as simple as going through a drive-thru and paying for the meal of the person behind you and give them one of these cards. And it just says a little something extra to show you that God loves you. Little things can make a big impact. And that's all it takes. For some of us, we're afraid of taking that first step. The first step's always the hardest. It seems like every step after that, it gets a little easier and a little easier. But that first step is scary because we don't really know what's on the other side of it. You know, I can remember growing up, you know, and any time I would go swimming, you know, I'd get on that first step and I'd dip my toe in just to see how cold the water was, and it was always cold. And so I'd pull it out and I'd wait a minute, and then I'd take another step and I'd get about ankle deep. And for some of us, we get a little deeper. But the farther in we get, the colder that water gets. As we ease into it, some of us turn around and go right back out. Some of us can't handle it. But what do kids do? One of my favorite memories growing up as a kid, every summer, I lived next door to my great aunt, and she had a pool, and my cousin spent a lot of time with him, and he and I are super close. And I can remember growing up and going over and getting him, and we'd go swimming in my aunt's pool. And we'd have competitions where we'd jump in and we'd do backflips and front flips and jump off the ladder. We were kids. We didn't care how cold the water was. We just wanted to have fun. We weren't afraid or anything. We just wanted to have fun. I think for a lot of us, we're afraid of taking that first step because we're not really sure what's on the other side of it. It's something that we haven't experienced before. In Hebrews, it says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. We're afraid to take that first step because we don't know what's on the other side of it. But can I tell you today that on the other side of that first step is just fun? It's an experience that you will never regret. Let's look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings says, go out, and the Lord says, go out and stand before me. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and there was a mighty windstorm that hit the mountain, and the wind was so terrible that it blew the rocks, and they were torn loose, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. It goes on to say that after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. But after the fire was the sound of a gentle whisper. Some translations use still small voice, but I like this one because I feel like for today, some of us, God's been whispering. The Holy Spirit's been whispering to us. He's been whispering things like, do it. Take that first step. Do it. For some of us, it's hang in there. I know that the winds are blowing. I know that the earth is shaking. And I know that there's fire all around, but just hang in there. It gets better. For some of us, maybe it's take the risk. Take that first step. It's worth it. You won't regret it. Maybe today, to some of us, God's whispering to get help. Maybe the problem is that we don't really know what God wants us to do. And I just want to, for those of you that are struggling with that, for those of you that don't know what your gifts or what your callings are, I really want to encourage you all to try out our growth track. You know, today is step one. After the second service, we have step one. And you can learn all about Shiloh Church and what we believe, and we can help you find that and discover a little bit about yourself and find that calling and that gift that God has given you. For some of us, maybe he's whispering, there's more. There's more to this life than just knowing God. God's got so much more in store for you because it's time. The world is hurting now. So now is the time. Now's the time to go out and make a difference. Because if you ever want to get over that fear of taking that first step, then you've got to step out to find out. You've got to jump in like Noah did. Noah didn't hesitate. He didn't wait. When the Lord told him to build the boat, he grabbed his hammer and he jumped in. Now my favorite part of the whole Noah story is the end. You know, after the floodwaters had subsided, the storms had stopped, after they'd stepped out of the boat for the first time in such a long time, and they went out onto that deck and they looked up into the sky, they saw a big, bright, beautiful rainbow. God tells us in Genesis chapter 9, he says that I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It's the sign of my covenant with you and with all of the earth. It's the promise that God has made time and time and time again. All throughout the Bible. It's the last words of Jesus in Matthew 28. I am with you always. I know it's raining. I know that it's storming. But guess what? Rainbow. I know that you're scared to death, but guess what? Rainbow. These storms, they come and they go. But God can get us through it because God is with us. All the way to the end of the age, God is with us. For some of us, and this is my last point, we're afraid of failure. This was my big deal. This is the thing that held me back for a really, really long time in serving God. And I can remember the first time that I come to Shiloh. I'd come here and I was brokenhearted and I was really just down. I had left the church that I had basically grew up in, and I was searching for a place that felt like home. a place where I could feel that sense of family. And I had been to 6 or 7 different churches until I had come to Shiloh. And the first time that I visited Shiloh, I kind of had that feeling. Maybe this could be it. Something seems different here. But I was afraid. I'd never seen anything. See, I had grown up in church. I'd grown up singing and playing my guitar in church. And this place was a lot more intimidating, if I can be honest with you. It's a lot bigger than any of the churches that I had grown up in or visited. And the thought of getting on this stage terrified me. I didn't think that I was good enough. I didn't think that I could sing well enough or that I knew enough about the guitar to play. And so I decided to find something that I felt was a little more comfortable for me. And so I began my serving, my ministry here at Shiloh down with the youth. And like all speakers before me, I earned my stripes with the youth. And in that serving in the youth, I would lead them in worship from time to time, and I would sing to them and play with them. And just that little taste of that left me wanting more. And I would sit here in the services through the worship services, and I would imagine myself on that stage singing out to the crowd, worshiping God, playing my guitar. But I was afraid. I let that fear of the what if, I let that fear of maybe I'm not good enough, maybe I don't have what it takes, hold me back for a long time. And I can remember Tonya Allen was one of the people on the worship team, and I had Tonya pretty much watched me grow up. She was my youth leader for a long, long time before I'd come to Shiloh. And then I was talking to her about it one day because she kept asking me, "When are you going to join the worship team? When are you going to join the worship team?" And I confided in her that, you know, I was afraid. And I'll never forget the words that she said to me. She said, "Justin, talents weren't made to sit on a shelf." And so I decided to join the worship team. I started out with the guitar because that was my comfort zone. And eventually, I worked my way up to vocals and to be able to sing in front of everybody. And can I tell you since that day how much I've grown? How much my life has changed for the better? You see, I was raised in church. I'd known God a long time, but I'd never made that commitment to serve. And after I made that commitment, I'm telling you, I can't imagine my life without it. I truly can't. And that's my heart for you guys today, is for you guys to get to experience that joy and that fulfillment of knowing that you've made a difference in somebody's life. I'm going to end with this. It's Philippians 4:13. It's my favorite verse in the whole Bible. It's a popular verse. A lot of you probably already know it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And there's nothing you can't do with God by your side. But in order to do that, you've got to know God. And if that's you today, and you're saying, "Justin, I'm so far from God, you have no idea," then that's your first step. Your first step is to have that interaction with Him, to have that moment, and I want to give you that moment, and I want to pray for you guys right here, right where you are. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today, and you're saying, "I don't know what's next," if you have that fear and you want to make a change and you want to start that relationship with God, would you raise your hand? I see. I want to pray for you guys right where you are. And if that's you today, pray this prayer with me. Say, "Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross and paying for what I did. I receive that gift. say this to him today. Say, be the Lord of my life. And with all of my heart, the best way I know how, I'm going to live for you. Today, I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Father, for those that prayed that prayer, I speak blessings on their lives. Amen. If you guys would, let's stand up, and we're going to go into one more song of worship.
Hand praise. Yes. Just like Justin was saying, I just want to remind you all and encourage you all that today is step one of growth track. And, you know, I was thinking about that this week and how the church is such a special organization because nowhere else will you find that without each other, the church doesn't exist. Because you think about what Jesus did. He said, I come to serve and not be served. And so without each and every one of us serving each other, washing each other's feet, I wash your feet, you wash my feet. I hand out work at greet somebody at the door or we're in the nursery. So we're all serving each other. And without each and every one of us serving, it doesn't exist. And so if you ever feel like you're not needed, I'm telling you, that you are needed in the kingdom of God to continue what God has started, to be His hands and feet. So I encourage you that today, if you've never been through step one and you feel like there's more, there's another step, there's a next step, that is your next step, is going through Growth Track and getting plugged in somewhere where you enjoy, where you feel as God has called you, and serve the people that God's called you to serve as we serve you as well. So I just want to encourage you, that's right after the second service. Off Extra Avenue down there underneath the black awning that's over the door there. Just go in there beside the gym. They'll feed you. They'll take good care of you. So I just encourage you, if you've never been through Growth Track Step 1, and then you're not making any commitment, let me promise you that. They'll feed you. You just get free food, and you get some information about the church. There's three steps. Today is just that step one. So I just encourage you to go down there and at least get a free meal and find out some information about the church. Also, if you've never been water baptized, you may have got saved today. You may have been 10 years like I was, and you're ready to take that next step, because we're all on a different journey. We're all overcoming things. That you know, our insecurities. That mine was, I'm like Justin, I was terrified to get up front. And it took me 9 to 10 years to overcome that, to be water baptized. But if you have been saved and never been water baptized, that is your next step. So I encourage you to fill out that connection card. Put your name and number on there and let us know which service you want to be baptized at. And we will we'll get in contact with you and get that set up. Because we just want to celebrate you. We want to celebrate you and encourage you and help you on your next steps. Because you and I and all of us, we're all becoming, step by step, becoming more like Christ. And that's what we're trying to do, is help encourage you. So the ushers will be at the back door to receive the offering. You can give online, or you can give at the door, you can give online, you can mail that in. And if you're a first-time guest, we expect nothing from you. This is just for the people that call Shiloh home here. Or if you're a student, nothing. We don't expect anything from you. Just enjoy. We're glad to serve you and glad that you're here to experience God's presence. So let me pray over you. Lord, as we come to you, God, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord, to worship among your people, Lord, to be your church, to be your hands and feet, to serve your people, Lord, with the gifts that you've given us, God. And I just pray for each and every person here, Lord, that your hand would be upon them, that you would just bless their families. Lord, I pray that if they're struggling in health, Lord, that you would be in the midst of that, Lord, that you would heal their bodies. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would touch their families, their children, Lord, and their careers. Lord, whatever area it is, Lord, that your hand would be upon them, that you would bless them. And God, I pray that this week that they would experience your presence tangibly, that you would speak to them, Lord, in the way that only you can. And I just pray that over each and every person, Lord, help them in their needs, Lord. And so we ask that, Lord, and we thank you, and we pray that this offering, Lord, that will go out and reach this world, that will go out and reach, Lord, into this tri-state area, and that it will tell the world, tell all these people that you have so much more for them, Lord. Not something from them, but something for them. And so we ask that and we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need prayer for anything at all, guys, we'll be up here to pray with you and over you. If not, have a blessed Sunday. Enjoy this nice day.